Well, one balmy evening in the South Pacific, a Navy ship spied smoke coming from one of three huts on a deserted, uncharted island. Upon arriving at the shore, the crew was met by a shipwreck survivor. He said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for over 20 years. The captain replied, "If you're alone, why do I see three huts?" The survivor answered, "Well, I live in one hut and I go to church in another hut." "Well, what about the third hut?" asked the captain. And the shipwrecked survivor says, "Well, that's where I used to go to church." See, in America today, there are 35,000 different Christian denominations. Can you imagine that? Just in America alone, over 35,000 different Christian denominations. Probably every day, new denominations are breaking off and starting. And how did this happen? Well, we know really for 1,500 years, we had just the one church, the Catholic Church, from the time Christ founded it until the time of Martin Luther and then John Calvin and Zwingli and all the different Protestant founders who broke off and started their own denomination, their own church. But when we look back at it, today is the feast day of Pentecost. Today reminds us that the Holy Spirit came down upon the Catholic Church 2,000 years ago. And that Catholic Church is still with us today after 2,000 years. St. Peter was the first pope chosen by Christ. We now have the newly elected Pope Francis. I believe he is the 266th successor of St. Peter. So Jesus Christ founded one church, the Holy Catholic Church. That's why we say the church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Jesus Christ has one spouse, his church. Well, then what happened in the 1500s? Well, the different people, whether it be Martin Luther or Henry VIII or Calvin or Zwingli or John Knox, they broke off of the Catholic Church. And it did not stop there. Then more and more followers of theirs, they had disagreements on different theological topics, and then they broke off of those churches, and they had more churches that sprouted from them, until we come to the present situation of 35,000 different Christian denominations just in America alone. Is this what the Lord wanted? At the Last Supper, Jesus prayed that his followers would be one. In John 17, he prayed that his disciples, his followers, would always be united. And yet we don't see that in the divisions of the different splits in the Christian denominations that are still splintering at record numbers even to today. So when we look back at today's feast day, we're reminded that on this feast day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the church. And it was the church that Christ founded upon his apostles. St. Peter and the other apostles received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, God chose this particular day, which was the Jewish feast day of Pentecost, which meant the word Pentecost means the 50th day after Passover. For example, the Pentateuch was the first five books of the Bible. The Pentagon is the five-sided building, right? Pent means five. So Pentecost is the 50th day after the Passover. Now, on the feast day of Pentecost, it commemorated when God gave the law to Moses. And isn't it appropriate that on the day that God gave the law to Moses, he would give his Spirit to the church? The church is the new people of Israel. So God poured out his Holy Spirit on this Jewish feast day of Pentecost, which commemorated the giving of the law. And now God sends forth his Spirit upon the early church. And what occurred on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit filled the apostles and they went out preaching. And on the first day, the church grew from like 12 members to over 3,000 people joined the church and were baptized on the feast day of Pentecost. In sales, we would call that a good first day, right? 3,000 people joined the church and were baptized. So the church grew from that little mustard seed of the 12 apostles to now 3,000. And it would then grow until today of 1.2 billion members of the Catholic Church throughout the world. 1.2 billion members of the church. So the Holy Spirit came down upon the church at Pentecost. St. Peter and the apostles preached. And it said that the people heard them speak in their own language. See, it was the reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel when all the languages were confused? Pentecost is the opposite, where the apostles spoke and everybody could understand what they said. So this was the great birthday of the Catholic Church. That's what we're really celebrating today on the feast day of Pentecost. We call it the birthday of the Catholic Church. Others have called it the baptism of the Catholic Church because this is when the Holy Spirit came down upon the church. And that's when we receive the Holy Spirit first, is at our baptism. When we receive the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within our soul. Some have called it the confirmation of the Catholic Church. See, when you and I were confirmed, the bishop laid hands upon our head and said, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, Pentecost was the confirmation of the church, when the church received a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we are so blessed to be part of this church, which is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The word apostolic means we can trace ourselves back to the apostles. Our church was not started in the 1700s or the 1600s or the 1500s. It was founded by Christ himself 2,000 years ago. So today on this feast day of Pentecost, we think about what a blessing it is to be part of this church. The fact that the church gives us the seven sacraments. Without the church, we would not have the Eucharist, the true body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. The church gives us the greatest gift imaginable, which is Jesus himself under the appearances of bread and wine. So one of the greatest blessings of being a Catholic is being able to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, not only every Sunday, but even every day if we wish to go to daily Mass. The church gives us the sacrament of confession. Imagine that great gift of having our sins washed away and forgiven in confession, to walk out of confession knowing that Jesus Christ has forgiven our sins through the instrument of the priest in confession. To be strengthened by confirmation when the bishop confirms us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be anointed when we're going in for surgery, to be given that great gift of the anointing of the sick, or the last rites when we're passing from this world into eternity, the great blessing of the last rites, the anointing of the sick, to prepare our soul to see God face to face. And then the church, as Holy Mother Church, gives us the Bible. The church is the one who compiled all the books of the Old Testament, all the books of the New Testament, put it under one cover, and the church gave us the infallible scriptures. And only an infallible church can give us an infallible scriptures, because the Holy Spirit guided the church to compile the books of the Bible and to give us the sacred scriptures. If it were not for the church, we would not have the Holy Bible. And then the church gives us the true teachings on issues of faith and morals. There's a lot of confusion out there. If you just read the secular papers, how would you get the truth of Jesus Christ? You have to go to his church that he founded and gave the Holy Spirit. So when you want the truth about, for example, matrimony, you go to the church. That marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a teaching of the church. And the church is the messenger. The church cannot change those teachings. On the pro-life issues, the respect for the sanctity of the unborn, the church is the greatest defender of life in the entire world, because the church alone is the one voice that is speaking the truth about the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception until natural death. And we're getting into more and more issues these days, with issues such as cloning or embryonic stem cell research, all these genetic questions that are coming up. Where do you go for the truth? You have to go to the church founded by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago that has the guarantee of the Holy Spirit to give you the truth on issues of marriage, issues of faith, issues of morality. Because we live in a very confusing world. Where is the voice of truth? It comes from the church founded by Jesus Christ. Other churches will water down their teachings about whether it be divorce and remarriage or abortion or contraception or any of the issues, embryonic stem cell research or cloning or whatever, homosexuality, whatever it might be, whatever the moral teachings are. If you want the clear and true teachings, go to the church. Because the church was given the great gift of the Holy Spirit on today's feast day, the great feast day of Pentecost.